Sixth Sense podcast is brought to you by Grin Brush. Happy teeth, happy planet. Grin Toothbrush is a toothbrush that takes better care of your teeth and the planet. It's beautiful, responsible, and automatic. Listen, fellas, you're going to be saving time and money when you subscribe to get your premium toothbrush delivered to you for less than what you're paying for drugstore brands. Not only that, you're going to be going green. You're going to be saving the environment. The Grin toothbrush uses 85% less plastic than disposable, overpriced drugstore brands. And finally, you're going to be simplifying your life. You get these fresh brush heads, and replacement reminders arrive automatically to you to let you know when to change your brush head so you can be putting the cleanest toothbrush, germ-free, into your mouth. Now, gentlemen, this is a great gift for the ladies, sisters, brothers, kids, mothers, fathers, anyone in your family, friends. So if you want to pick one up for yourself or anyone else, go to grinbrush.com and enter the promo code 6 cents, and you'll get a 15% discount on your subscription. Again, go to grinbrush.com, enter the promo code 6 cents, and you'll get a 15% discount on your subscription. All right, fellas, go sign up and take care of your oral care.
Yeah, I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window. Sitting in a console.
Cosby? Cosby, are you there? No Cosby tonight. A last minute bail. You can't let him off like this. Boys, it's welcome to the Sixth Sense podcast. So, 15. This is a ceremonial or milestone podcast. So, and it's also rivalry week in the UFFL. Had some big things happen last week. A lot of controversy, a lot of great matchups. This is Andrew Kirkland, GM of the Jaeger Bombers. And I'm here joined with GM of Discount Belichick, who was in the middle of this controversy, Matt York. Matt, how's it going tonight?
Good, you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Not too
happy. So I wouldn't necessarily call it controversy, but we can get into that in a few minutes.
It's controversy. A lot of people were not happy. A lot of talk going in on the Monday nighter. On a Monday nighter when it's Dallas versus Tennessee and not the, big games or anything like that, or big fantasy matchups going on. There was a lot of back and forth on Monday night when it didn't really matter. Just some people upset. So, but why don't we get right into that? Why don't you tell us in the commissioner's corner, if that's what you're going to talk about in the commissioner's corner? I don't know, but I'll throw it over to you. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about in the commissioner's corner. And then if you don't talk about it, just come back.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you know, the situation is, you and I have chatted multiple times over the last 3 or 4 days. So here's a situation that everyone can hear from the horse's mouth or the ass's mouth, whatever you want to call me. As we've known each other for 30 years, you know, I've never shied away from being open and honest and, never back down. So here it is for everyone to hear out. I had some injury situations and I needed a lot of help, for this past week. And in looking over my roster and thinking long-term, not just thinking about typical week 9, I needed a few things to go right for me to field a full roster. First off, I needed to trade for a tight end. So after searching and communicating with a ton of different managers. I finally found one in Yanny and trading and making that deal for me. So that got done Sunday morning. So that was step number one. And then step number two was Sonny Michel. Playing the Sunday night, I needed to put a running back in. And all reports said that he was going to be a game time decision leaning towards him playing. So when he was ruled inactive around 7 o'clock Sunday night, I knew I was pretty fucked. So at that point, thinking long-term wise on my team and not just thinking about a weak situation, I decided to make the situation where I wasn't going to dress a full team. I know it wasn't ethical, and I know that, but I was thinking, again, thinking long-term, thinking selfishly, thinking about how I can make a playoff push with having depth, especially now that my number one wide receiver in AJ Green was going to miss a few weeks. So with that being the case, it kind of screwed me over, and had Sonny Michel played, I was going to pick up Taylor on Monday morning and put him in my starting lineup for Monday afternoon once I was able to drop a guy that played. So that was the case. I ended up picking up Taylor, and as you and I were chatting on Monday night, I had a work dinner as I was driving home. You had to put him in my lineup. And so I was down one roster spot in the running back. So I know it's everyone looks at this situation is probably like, oh yeah, fuck Yorkies, the commissioner, all this shit, integrity. Look, I get that. I'm not saying that I'm better than anyone else because that's not what I'm coming from. I'm just coming from my own team perspective, and I had to manage my team, and I thought this was the best way that I can manage my team. And you and I have chatted about disciplinary action, and I'll self-discipline myself, and we can get into that later on, as you and I have already chatted about that. So I made the decision to not full a full team. And I know we get into integrity, and this wasn't a situation where I was trying to throw a week or I didn't care about fantasy football. I think if anyone knows me, knows that I'm a sports guy from through and through. I've worked in professional sports for the last 12 years. Sports is kind of like my lifeblood. So this wasn't me trying to throw anything, trying to not be integral for the league. It was just me looking long-term. And I know we can get into situations where if a team is, you know, if they're 1-8, 1-9, 2-10 going into the last week and they're like, ah, fuck this shit. I'm going to start on my backups because I don't care. No, this wasn't anything like that. This wasn't me trying to be malicious. It was just me trying to look out that I didn't feel like I had a guy that I wanted to drop long-term wise because I knew he would get snatched up right away. So that's pretty much my rationale for everything. And if guys want to come at me for it, they can come at me for it. But I know deep down that everyone's had these thoughts go through their head. In this league, this is a pretty hardcore league. There's a lot of financial obligations going to this. It's a season long. It's actually a year long obligation. Everyone's talking about it throughout the season and the off season, and definitely during the season. So it was just a long term thing that I, you know, trying to make a deep playoff push.
I think my one. I guess kind of thing that I noticed is I'm so sick at putting players in people's lineups that the one guy I did put in your lineup through commissioner intervention had one catch for a touchdown and 9.5 points for you. So it's just my year, I guess. Anybody I put in a lineup scores a touchdown. But I think, you know, we hear what you're saying. I spoke to a lot of other GMs who were not happy about this. And, you know, you've had talked about this, about having a plan. You know, obviously sometimes your plan doesn't go according to plan and you have to kind of deviate from that. But a lot of guys had made changes in previous weeks because they were struggling with buys or injuries. and they may have had to drop people that they didn't want to drop because of, you know, because they wanted to field a full team.
Oh, for sure. And I know we've chatted about that on past Commissioner's Corners, about plan, about situational and things like that. And sometimes you just realize you're fucked. And throughout the week, trying to make trades, trying to chat with people about certain players, I just realized that, you know what, whatever I do here, I'm royally fucked. And I try to make I found a pathway for that. And the pathway at the last minute, I got the tight end I needed. I had the running back ready to go, who was a game time decision. And it wasn't like the running back hadn't practiced. Sonny Michel practiced all week. And I think if there's one thing I know about anything about this football, it's my team and the Patriots. So knew that he practiced all week. Even Schefter said, you know, he's going to be a kind of a game time decision. And I was watching Sunday Night Football and just unfortunately just didn't go my way. And hey, look, man, plans come to shit, whether it's work, life, girls, wife, kids, or fantasy football. Things kind of backfire. And yeah, no, I hear you, what you're saying on that side.
Yeah. So why don't you talk about your discipline?
So starting tomorrow, I will play one player short. So I'll have one open roster spot on my team for 3 weeks. You and I chatted about it, and I'll give it till tomorrow morning when I get into the office before 9 a.m. I'll drop a player, and I'll play one player short for weeks 10, 11, and 12.
And now you will not be able to have it's not like during the week you'll be able to fill a roster spot. Like, you literally have to have an empty roster spot on your squad for 3 full weeks.
Yes. No, that's that. Yeah. I can't pick up a player and drop a player. Sorry, I can't pick up a player and not drop a player. No, I need to have a full bench spot open, and I'll keep that bench spot open until after we do our podcast. I can look on the actual date here. On the 28th, I can pick up a player.
Yeah. I think this whole situation, I know a couple of guys obviously have had this problem, and they made moves and they filled out their full roster, probably grudgingly they did it. And I know some guys are going to be struggling this week. I think, I even think this is going to be something I propose in the offseason to deal with roster spots. And I don't mind the number of people we have in the starting lineup, 3 wide receivers and a flex. It dilutes the number of people on the waiver wire down, but we can limit the number of bench spots, and that's probably something I'm going to propose going forward. I don't know if that's something we voted on in the past. I feel like we dropped it in our first year, after our first year, and then it's been the same ever since. Maybe you can correct me on that.
Yeah, so we had it. It's been on. This is year 3. So the first year, we created the rules and said we would go by these standard rules. And then at the end of the year, we would vote. So we started with 6 bench players. We started with 7 bench players, and then we went to 6 bench players. So there's currently 6 bench players, and we've put it in the vote, and the options were 4, 5, and 6, and it stayed with 6.
Yeah.
So for next year, we can bring that up again in the springtime when we do our vote. And we also had the flex position, which we added this year. And we can see where that goes at the end of the year. I know other guys are probably saying, you know, what the hell, I had to drop this guy and weren't thinking rationale-wise. Yeah, I know that. And I know it wasn't the right thing to do, but I was thinking long term for my team and trying to think that, you know, like, what would I put an analogy in here, like Greg Popovich, the coach of the Spurs, he doesn't give a fuck about it, what anyone thinks. And he's going to rest guys. He's going to do what's best term, long-term for his team. And I was kind of thinking the same mentality, that I was thinking long-term for my team. I got two great quarterbacks. I'm not going to drop one of them. Wasn't going to drop A.J. Green. And my two defenses, I'm keeping them long-term because playoff-wise, they got some weak opponents. So that's why I wanted to keep my two defenses. Kicker, I don't care about. Obviously, I can't drop Zach Ertz. I couldn't drop A.J. Green. And I can't drop Saquon Barkley, as they're both in your can't cut list. So, yeah, there was rationale here. It wasn't just like a fly-by-night decision. So I think with that said, you know, if anyone has an issue with this, they can feel free to reach out to us, and we'll go from there. But I'm ready to move on and get on with Rivalry Week.
Well, I think the important thing here is that we do not want people doing this. We're going to probably make adjustments to the league in the offseason to make situations like this not happen in the future. But this is not a league where we're going to have people not field a team. And there will be repercussions. This is the first one. It's a 3-week without that roster spot. So, you know, if you do that type of activity, you know, it's not good and it's going to hurt you going forward. And this potentially is going to hurt you quite significantly coming into a playoff push.
Oh, for sure. No,
not only did it not hurt you this week, but you know, you're down 3 weeks without a roster spot and a couple injuries. So, yeah, it's not something we want to have in this league. So I'm glad you agreed to this discipline. And as much as there's rationale behind it, I don't care. It's, you know, we got to field a team. We don't want people getting to playoffs and doing stuff like this. It's just not good. So, okay, moving on. Now, last week, I guess, is that your commissioner corner, or you want to actually go into anything else?
That's it. We'll get into other shit. Let's get into Rivalry Week and reviewing last week.
Well, really, last week, I think last week to me, you know, there wasn't too many close matchups. Closest matchup was Bondo and Delamere, Shooter McGavin. Shooter McGavin, he only had a 126, which is kind of disappointing. There was a lot of lower weeks last week. We had obviously J-Well winning with 121. Shooter McGavin winning with a 126. We had a 135 win. So wasn't that great. The high week was, there was some, there's some contest there. We had Hide My Chubb take it down with a 162, which I actually think is probably one of the lower high weeks of the year. But I think that's what will happen when you get into kind of like week nine of the NFL season. You got injuries, you got bye weeks, you know, the points are going to be harder to come by. And there was a lot, you know, you were minus 100, Morris was at 100. It's just overall a tougher week. We had the Mo with myself versus Hendry. The over-under on that was 305. You said under, Cause and I both said over. You were right on that one. We came in at around, close to 290. I was disappointed with my squad. I had Duke Johnson sitting on the bench with 30 points. Would have given me the win if it wasn't for him on the bench. But that is what it is. But what are your comments on last week and what happened and your outlook for and your recap of it?
No, I think it's typical scores for, like you said, for let's say between week 7 and 11. Like in fantasy, teams are starting to pull away and teams are starting to drop off. I mean, we know who are the shit teams in the NFL: Oakland, Buffalo, Arizona, the Jets, etc. And there are guys going to start pulling away, and you look at it where in week 9, week 10, week 11, the NFL is going to put some primetime matchups together so that, you know, they had Rodgers, Brady, they had New Orleans and the Rams. So they want to put their high profile offenses and defenses together, and you're going to see injuries. You're going to see some good matchups, some good defenses. But in terms of fantasy wise, yeah, G&J had a big win. Obviously,
he needed that.
He definitely needed that. And then if you look
got
at
a tough one this week though,
if you look at my matchup with Jaywa, yeah, it was a big matchup. It was a dud, but in
and
terms
certainly
of
certainly, oh, the bill.
Yeah, definitely added the dud. But you know, it's you know, Dumpster Fire Divots had a big win. I know they played you, but even you know, Gurley's going wild. I mean, he's struggling right now. You know, lost by 30 points. So obviously, he's got a situation where he needs to either make a move or in a week he could be playoff ineligible. I think these are typical point score wise, you know, that 160, 150 to 60 range for high weeks now, because you're getting in the better matchups of the season. Guys are injured. And I think historically, if we look back historically, the times of guys getting 200 to 180 consistently, we're not probably going to see those just because of the matchups, injuries. And then we have to factor in the weather as well. I mean, look, half the league is cold and plays in snowy conditions. So that's obviously going to affect things as well.
And on that, the dud, we had it at the 229.5 is the over under. I went over, so I was incorrect. I was 0 for 2.
I was 2 for 2.
And you were 2 for 2. You were under. This pretty much sums up my betting life. And I continue to lose bets, even on the Bet365 app. But I don't know. I'm gonna still try to have some fun. But we did when you know what? We were at the Bills game this weekend, which was shit. The actual Bills game was terrible. They lost 41-9. It was just brutal. We left early. There was no point staying, but they're just bad. Peterman's brutal. But the good thing was, I had the Bills to cover, and there was a 10.5-point spread. I thought they were going to cover. That didn't happen, obviously. But our man Luke Stewart, who was obviously with us, he had who the fuck did they play? The Bears to win. Straight up win on the money line, and he had some, you know, a good coin on that one. So he was pretty happy leaving the game, even though it wasn't a good game at all. We had a fun time. But anyway, it's just you talk about the weather and you talk about just the bad teams, and it's just, you know, Buffalo is just a mess. Speaking of messes, Gurley's gone wild, picked up the Buffalo defense, which. Yeah, you know, I don't know about that guy. He's at that 2-7 mark. He basically has to win out 4 more weeks and win out. It's going to be tough this weekend because he's playing a dumpster fire Divots, which has won 5 in a row. And Girl Who's Gone Wild has lost 4 in a row. And he still has Gurley's bye week coming up. I think it's in week 12. So not looking good for Yaney on the West Coast. I'm assuming there's some excuse there that is the time zone or something like that. But at any rate, he's looking. It's going to be tough for him. Now, there was some news in the NFL, just in, you know, not in the UFFL, but in the NFL. Dez Bryant signed a contract. Yorkie, do you know who has Dez Bryant in our squad? What squad has him in our league right now?
Let me look. I forget. He was dropped.
He was originally drafted by Jaywell, and then he was kind of bumped around. Spent some time on the waiver wire. But I think
Shooter McGavern has him.
Shooter McGavin has him. So
Dally has him.
What are your expectations for Dez Bryant coming? I don't know, basically out of nowhere. I have no idea where he was. I don't know if he was trading or whatever, I'm assuming he was. But what are your expectations for a guy like that coming out in week 10?
I don't think he plays this week, first off. I heard that today on ESPN Radio, my drive home, that he hasn't even signed his contract. He's going to sign the contract tomorrow. So tomorrow's Thursday. He's definitely not playing this week. I don't know when the Saints bye week is. Oh, I should know this because I played you the week that Breeze was on bye week. So they've obviously had their bye. So let's say he doesn't play this week. He practices next week. Might play next week. I think it's going to be tough. I mean, everything I've heard on Dez Bryant is he's not the sharpest wide receiver out there. He's not a great route runner, but I think the Saints will give him a small package that he can succeed in. And look, if he's got nowhere to go but up, I mean, dude hasn't been in the league all year. No one's picked him up. No, I mean, shit, even Cleveland or Oakland that's struggling right now might have just said, hey, look, let's try to see if you can light a fire under a few guys. But he's got nowhere to go but up because imagine it's not a lot of guaranteed money. So, and if he fucks up, he's out.
Speaking of Saints and wide receivers, did you hear if Michael Thomas got fined for his cell phone bit?
I believe fines come out Thursday, so I'm sure he will get fined for that.
Right. Joe Horn, I heard Joe Horn had a little tear come down his cheek when Michael Thomas played homage to him. So, anyway, so that was an exciting game for sure. That Rams, that 4 o'clock game, the Rams and Saints game, just not enough for Drew Brees. Five touchdowns, not enough for me. But all right, so now you know. The other thing, you know, what kind of information you have on Le'Veon? Like, what's happening with him?
So I heard he's back in Pittsburgh. He was training in the Miami area. I heard he's back in Pittsburgh, but I heard an interesting thing on a podcast that he would still be a free agent next year. He does lose an accredited season, which is more NFL internal policy wise for pension and things along those lines, but he still would be a free agent and the Steelers could still technically franchise him or put the transition tag on him. So he still could be in this situation next year. And I heard I do listen to a lot of sports radio here. Everyone's going to tell us, but I was listening to the Stephen A. Smith show the other day, and he was kind of going off that, you know, he's given up a lot of money and things along those lines. But in his mind, he's trying to do the principal thing that's what's right for him. And it was, what, $14 million he turned down? So at this point, it's already less than half. So let's say he's got, what, $6 million left. I mean, if you've already lost, you know, $7-8 million, what's another six? So in his mind, I don't think he's coming back. And I don't know if Pittsburgh wants him back at this point. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I don't think he's coming back, but it's a weird situation. That's for sure. It seems like a lot of money to leave on the table. But obviously that guy has a lot, but you know, I was thinking about even, like, you know, throwing a couple of offers out to Stewart for him, knowing that he may potentially coming back, but there's still some unknowns, so maybe getting him, you know, for a little bit cheaper. But I still think that's it's a tough situation for Stewart. But the thing, as it turned out, if we look back at that trade that he made with Ozzy, which was involving Le'Veon and the other guy going back the other way was Devontae Freeman.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter because both those guys aren't playing, right? So it was kind of a wash, which is a little bit unfortunate. But, you know, if Stewart did get Le'Veon back, and even if Le'Veon did come back, I don't even know if he's playing. Like, James Conner's doing, like, unreal, right?
Yeah, he's playing well.
He's lighting it up. So Anyways, I saw he tweeted out, Le'Veon did, about, you know, farewell Miami. So there was the whole, you know, everyone was thinking that he's showing up to Pittsburgh and he's going to play. But, you know, I guess we'll find out in short order. But so let's get into rivalry week this week. And I have no idea why week 10 is rivalry week in fantasy football. Do you have any idea on why that is?
No, I think it's just a standard thing. Yeah. My guess is that most teams, most leagues maybe, or 10-team leagues, who knows. It's a standard thing with Yahoo that it's rivalry week. So.
Right. Okay. So now let's look out to the Mo. What do you think on this week on the Mo?
In my opinion, it's more from a standpoint of, it's a must-win situation, and he is going up against the number one team, and it would be Dumpster Diver Fires versus Gurley's Gone Wild, simply because matchup of the week, because it's, one, it's a close projection matchup, and two, it is a must-win situation, and you are going up against the number one team, and also Dumpster Diver Fires is in a battle with Lafferty Daniel for number one seed in the playoffs, $500. He's won five in a row, and he wants to keep the momentum going. So that would be my vote for matchup of the week. What's yours?
Well, so, you know, as much as I you know, I don't think that's going to be a close matchup. I do think Hendry is going to win it. And it's just, you know, I know it's a must-win game for Yaney. It just doesn't seem, you know, to me, I feel like his season's over already. Even if he did win it out, I don't even know if he would still make it, because, you know, if the eighth spot is a 6-7, you got to win a tiebreaker probably. And I don't know if he would get it on the points. But my thought here is, you know, one guy who's coming off a high week last week, and I don't look at projections too often, but this one squad has 169 projected points, which seems insane. I've never seen that before, but that, so it's going to be my Cosby suggestion. Yeah. So it's Hide My Chubb, high week last week versus Cosby.
Yeah. I was definitely looking at that. You got a 5-7.
Yeah.
Even 148 projections, a lot of points. Yeah, that was definitely my second choice, and I have no problem voting that for matchup of the week. You know, I just thought it's Gurley's Gone Wild, and we'll get into trade deadline situation stuff at the end of this, but he's in a must-win situation, so that was my vote. But yeah, let's go with Hide My Chubb versus Kareem Puffs for matchup of the week.
All right, Hide My Chubb. Crazy to think that Burnside has turned the season around, that he's in the Mo. Like, like he was a, you know, just a steward in the dud for a while. Lots of Kareem Puffs. I can't believe we're giving Cosby this honor, even though he bailed on us. Pod, but anyways, we'll have to put him through Kangaroo Court or something like that. But okay, I'm gonna put the over under on this one. I do think the projections are a little high. Like, at 169 is a little intense. I'll put it at
297.5. Ooh. 297.5? Yeah. I'm going to go under.
Yorkie, under. And I'm going to go over.
Anyways. No surprise there.
Yeah, so you're probably going to win that one. All right, so moving on to the dud of the week. And Cosby usually does this. We're not doing it, but like some of the guys listed in this matchup. So for the Mo, you know, on Cosby's team, it's Andy Dalton, Devontae Adams, Julian Edelman, Robert Woods, Kareem Hunt, James White, Jack Doyle, Kenyon Drake. On Hide My Chubb, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Keenan Allen, Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know what Harris's first name is. Tevin Coleman, Marlon Mack, Rob Gronkowski, and obviously his boy Chubb, the running back for the Browns. So yeah, I think, you know, as I'm reading Cosby's squad, it's like, what the hell happened there? Like, he's got a sick team.
He's got a pretty good team.
Sick.
Yeah.
You know, that guy, you know, he's going to make the playoffs for the first time in our UFFL. So he's, you know, be pretty happy about it. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to come on and talk about it. He just doesn't want to talk and jinx it. I feel like he's that type of guy that knows he's got something good going on here and doesn't want to talk about it because he doesn't want to jinx it. I'm jinxing it. Cosby, you're going to win. You're going to get high week. You're going to get like 200 points. It's going to be awesome. You have the best team ever. There you go. Okay, now to the dud.
I think it's the 12 versus the 13. Bye week versus...
Fuck. I don't know why I totally missed that. Of course that's the dud.
Yeah. Morris versus Chambo. And I mean, both are in must-win situation. And think, 3-6, you know, that's... That can, you know, you got to get to that. You got to get to 4-6. It's definitely one of them is going to come out of there with a win unless we have another tie. But that, yeah, that's definitely low projections. That's definitely my dud of the week.
Yeah. So is Leonard Fournette back? Did he play last week?
He practiced this week.
Oh, wow. But he obviously didn't play because they want to.
He's practicing. Practice that.
So Morris has got Rodgers, Landry, Galladay, Tate, Austin Eckler, Leonard Fournette, Greg Olson, Tyler Lockett. Do you want the D or the David Johnson? Carson Wentz, Randall Cobb, Humphreys, who just came out of nowhere last week and just totally scorched him. I think he was on a free agent, and or maybe not. I don't know. But Adam Humphreys lit it up last week.
Eight targets, eight catches, 82 yards, and two touchdowns. His first two touchdowns of the season.
I know. It was sick. Aaron Jones is running back with, you know, obviously David Johnson. Jimmy Graham.
Aaron Jones. Great. Hey, Aaron Jones, situational football. I'm glad you lost that fumble, buddy. That was huge for my Pats in that game. Thanks for dropping that ball, buddy.
Yeah, and that worked out well because I had the pass to cover on the Friday, on the Sunday nighter. That was the Sunday nighter, right? So I won that.
Yeah, ball. That was Sunday night.
Yeah, and then they've got he's got Godwin as his flex. So, all right, so... You know, obviously that's, you know, it's a dud. It's not going to be a good matchup. It's going to be a low scoring affair. It's a big matchup because, you know, it's putting one guy right in the mix, right back in it. And it's putting another guy right in the brink. So, all right. So I will say the over under on that is 251.5.
251.5. I'm going to go over.
Over, and I'm gonna go only because I think Aaron Rodgers is gonna have a massive day. I think both QBs could have a really big day, to be quite honest with you. And you have Aaron Rodgers throwing potentially to Randall Cobb on the one, throwing from bye week to you want a D. I will say over as well, so over for both of us. Yeah, and that's that basically sums up kind of week 10. Anything else you want to add in regards to week 10? I know you mentioned about the trade deadline and stuff like that. Like, maybe go into that a little bit.
So trade deadline is going to be the Thursday before playoffs. I posted a note in there. So the Thursday before our playoffs is Thursday, December 6th. Trade deadline will be 7 p.m. That means the trade has to be, both managers have to approve it by 7 p.m. Eastern time, enough time that you or I can communicate and approve the deal. Once you are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, you can no longer trade with a playoff team. You can still trade with playoff ineligible teams. in case you want to try to make a bye week push, but you will be ineligible from trading with any team that is still eligible for the playoffs. Once 7 p.m. hits, you or I will go into our commissioner's tools and lock all of the trades, so you will no longer be able to even compose a trade after 7 p.m. There'll be no trades for the playoffs. You're still able to pick up players. Trades, they're done. So
I have a feeling there's going to be some movement leading up to this. I think the last week in our season could really, well, I think for two reasons why I think there's going to be trades. One, because I think there's going to be, a lot of people who are battling for a playoff spot. It seems like there's a bottleneck right in the middle of our league. So some guys may want to make some minor tinkers before the end. And I also think that, our league's just growing up. So guys are getting, they're going to be more strategic about getting themselves ready for the playoffs, whether about getting ready for matchups or also, just loading up on their guys and almost like not winging it, but risking a little bit and not worrying about injuries in the final weeks, which, if you could do that just load up on your starting lineup, that'd be great. And kind of don't even worry about your bench, but, it could hurt you, obviously, if there's injuries happen. But I do think there's going to be some movement in our league for sure. So Yorkie, let's turn our attention off of this UFFL. I think, being the Sixth Sense podcast, we haven't really talked about too much of the Toronto stuff in the past. But with being in the city and the Raptors off to the start that they've put behind under their belt, and even doing it without necessarily Kawhi in quite a few games, what's it like in the locker room?
It's pretty good. We play tonight on in the West Coast. I didn't go on this West Coast trip. I got a West Coast trip coming up next month. It's fun. It's a different environment. It's a different cultural compared to Nick Nurse and Coach Casey. It's a fun environment. Guys really like each other. Guys get along. Kawhi and Kyle are still trying to feel each other out. But it's a fun environment. Obviously, we got to stay healthy. Norm Powell went down with a shoulder injury. DeLon Wright's been a little bit banged up, obviously, the Kawhi situation.
You know who I've noticed is, like, I'm, like, super, not, I don't know if I'm surprised, but I'm just, like.
Pascal?
Awesome. Yeah, Pascal.
Yeah.
What's his story? I hear he hasn't been playing basketball for that long.
He was a soccer guy. He's from Cameroon. Went to New Mexico State or New Mexico, one of those two schools. Played basketball late. He had a growth spurt. If he could shoot like a mid-range to a three, he'd be making $20+ million a year. But great guy. Obviously, he was disappointed when we traded Yak. Him and Yak were pretty close. Great guy. Jakob Poeltl,
yeah.
So, and he was in the Neymar deal. But obviously, yeah, things are going well. But, I mean, we're still going to lose 20 games, 20-plus games. I don't see us winning 65 games this year, give or take. But, so it's still a long year. Got a lot of back-to-backs coming up. We're back home Saturday versus the Knicks, and got a few games next week, then back out on the road. Leafs had a big win the other night. Seems like they're struggling at home without Matthews. Seems like they can't put the puck in the net, but got the win the other night.
They're not scoring as much as they were at the beginning of the season, and they've been struggling at home. But they're getting wins, right?
Yeah.
So that who cares, right? And I think if anyone had any expectations that their hot offensive start would continue and be the regular throughout the season. I think you were kind of, you know, kidding yourself. That's not going to happen. I don't think the way the NHL is played these days, that's what's going to go on. I think the Nylander situation is still kind of worrisome. I don't know what's going to happen. I kind of keep pointing to Carolina. I know they've got some good D. I think that would fit nicely if we could trade them.
If only we knew someone that worked for Carolina that we could get on as a guest.
Yeah. Honestly, we should get him on as a guest. I guarantee he wouldn't tell us very much. I don't blame him. But, just so you boys know, Yorkie's brother is an assistant to the GM in Carolina. I've always asked him for my PTO. I may be getting a little old now. When I was in my early 30s, I really felt like I had a chance. And I told him he could have all the movie revenues from, the whatever movie they're going to do on me when I come back and play in the NHL. Similar to like the rookie in baseball, but anyways, I think that ship sailed. But,
yeah, he's in Europe. I was texting with him earlier. He's actually the director of player personnel, I think his title is now. You know what? I'm going to text him right now and tell him he's probably sleeping right now. Tell him he needs to be available next week for a podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Get him on. Well, hopefully, that would be awesome. And you never know. Maybe. It'll be a done deal with Nylander, the Hurricanes, and he can kind of tell us a little bit about those guys who are coming the other way or coming to the Toronto, because we don't know them as well as we know Nylander. But overall, I think the Leafs are they're playing well, they're doing a lot right now without Matthews. Marner's just lighting it up. The guy's unreal. Freddie Anderson is just a stud back there.
What do you think Nylander gets next year?
As far as money?
Sorry, not Nylander. Marlowe-wise. It's not Marlowe.
Marner? Oh, geez. Yeah.
Kid that Marner. Played a lot.
Yeah. You're talking
about Marner, Mitchell, sorry. Right? Too many amps. Too many amps, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Just a mess there. Too many marbles in your mouth. I know. So I would say, he's going to get a lot. Like, Austin Matthews is going to get like 12.5. At least, if he comes back and he doesn't get hurt again, he puts in a good stint. If he gets hurt again, like I know he's like kind of one of those like he's a franchise player, but like he's on the verge of being injury prone, right? So if he comes back and he gets another shoulder issue, that could hurt his salary. But for Marner, like the guy, I don't
10
know
million
how,
a year?
I don't know how you can't. Like the only reason that it won't happen is that the Leafs can't afford it. Which with Tavares getting 11, Matthews gonna get 10 plus at least, and then if Marner is gonna get 10, you got 30 million at least, with between three players and the salary caps and the 70 million, like that's a lot, right? So I don't think they've earmarked to pay him over $10 million. I don't know how you can't think that this guy's not one of the premier forwards in the league. He's fast as hell. He's makes stuff happen. He doesn't get hit. He's back checking. He's playing good defensive hockey. It's I guess the one knock on him, he's not a centerman, right? So
he's a Toronto kid. His parents live across the street from me.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they're actually their house burnt down. They had a fire. They still own the house. It was about 2 years ago they had a house fire.
Jeez.
Yeah. Actually it was a while ago. It was actually before that, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It was when his parents were when he was playing in London. So
no
three
way.
Or 4 years ago, yeah.
Is that where Mitch grew up?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Jeez, look at you.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, very good. So anything else you want to give, the listeners on the podcast?
That's pretty good. Looking forward to rivalry week. Looking forward to, some good football. It starts Thursday night. That's pretty much it. You?
Yeah, and I think so, you know, just talking about events in the UFFL, so we had, you know, we had Jay Wells get together. A few of us went down to the Bills game on Sunday. That was awesome. I think the next event we're looking at to is Bondo's. I think there was some talk about him hosting people up on a Saturday night in mid-December. I think it was December 15th or something like that. So put that in the calendars. That should be good. And that'll be, I guess, right after, you know, right after the trade deadline, right in the mix of our playoffs, which would be, you know, pretty exciting stuff. So, but yeah, no, that's it for there. You know, and kudos to you for doing the self-discipline of 3 weeks with down a roster spot. And yeah, we'll look to make enhancements to the league to try to not make situations like that happen in the future, in the off season. So, all right, that's it. Oh, Cosby, you got anything to say?
No, he's no, he's gone.
Oh, okay, good. Great job, Cosby.
He couldn't even call in for 5 minutes. You know, I've been on the road or at games.
You've been working. And calling in.
He can't take 5 minutes to even call in. But
he's got an amazing fantasy football team right now. They're so good. They're so good. They're the best I've ever seen in any fantasy football team ever.
For him.
Any fantasy football team. Kareem Hunt is just lighting it up right now.
Yeah. Let's just say for him. Not the best fantasy football team ever. He's got a good team.
No, jinxing him. I want him to like...
Yeah, no, I know. But this is the best team he's ever had.
Well, this is by far the best team he's ever had. Yeah. The fact that he's above 500 is one reason. I don't think that happens very often for Cosby. But anyways, so...
It's because he's got two Bengals on his team.
Yeah, likely that. But also Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's the best. He's so good. He's been so healthy all year long. You know, he's just getting the ball all the time. So, so good. So
yeah, five. That wasn't you know, an FU. I don't know what was.
All right, over and out. Well, good luck everyone this weekend, and we'll talk to you in 7 days.
See you.